It is time for Arts Live and Local. I guess I don't have to say this anymore. This part of the world is overflowing in the arts, and it's a wonderful thing. Last night was an opening at Clatsop Community College, and many of the art, this was Au Naturel, the nude in the 21st century, and a number of the artists, exhibiting artists, were there from all over, from Texas. We had two people, and just the work is extraordinary. The gallery is full, and the comment we got from all the out-of-towners, including Portland people, was, this is amazing what is going on in this area. And I said, oh yeah, that's right, you got it. So, welcome to Coast Community Radio. As you all know, anybody who listens to KMUN or the world knows that we lost, we didn't lose him. Pete Seeger died at the age of 94 on Monday. We love Pete Seeger. We will always love him. And we have a ton of his music and his spirit, and it will go on forever. So for a while, this was my theme song until I was forced to pull it back a little bit. But today I want to play it for you. Pete was not only a master musician and an amazing human being, he was also a humongous activist. Thanks, Pete.
If you love this land of the free,
bring 'em home, bring 'em home.
Bring all troops back from overseas,
bring 'em home. Home. Bring 'em home.
It will make the general sad, I know. Bring 'em home, bring 'em home. They want to tangle with the foe.
Bring 'em home, bring 'em home. They want to test their weaponry, but bring 'em home, bring 'em home. Here is their big fallacy.
Bring 'em home. Bring 'em home.
A foe is hunger and ignorance. Bring 'em home, bring 'em home. You can't beat that with bombs and guns. Bring 'em home, bring 'em home.
I may be right, I may be wrong.
Bring 'em home, bring 'em home.
But I got a right to sing this song.
Bring 'em home. Bring 'em home.
Isn't that the wonderful thing about America? You got a right to be wrong. Where else in the world can we do it like we can do it here? And back in 1965, when I first wrote this song, it was, if you love your Uncle Sam, support our boys in Vietnam, bring 'em home. And if you all sing that chorus with me, we can raise the ceiling a little higher. Hooray for the United States of America and the right to speak your mind.
There's one thing I must confess. Bring 'em home, bring 'em home. I'm not really a pacifist.
Bring 'em home, bring 'em home.
If an army invaded this land of mine, bring 'em home,
bring 'em home.
You'd find me out on the firing line.
Bring 'em home, bring 'em home.
Show those generals a fallacy.
Bring 'em home, bring 'em home.
They don't have the right weaponry.
Bring 'em home, bring 'em home.
For defense you need common sense. Bring 'em home, bring 'em home. They don't have the right armaments.
Bring 'em home, bring 'em home.
The world needs teachers, books, and schools. Bring 'em home, bring 'em home. And learning a few universal rules.
Bring 'em home, bring 'em home.
So now we don't want to fight for oil.
Bring 'em home, bring 'em home.
underneath some foreign soil.
Bring them home, bring them home.
So if you love this land of the free,
bring them home, bring them home.
Bring all troops back from overseas.
Bring them home, bring them home.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pete Seeger. Wow. 70-some years of singing the music, making waves. Just like we try to do here at KMUN. Well, my first guests are in Cannon Beach right now. They're making waves there. And they're pulling a play that's even older than Pete. It was written in 1879, and it was radical then, and it's still relevant today. So, let me welcome my guests, Susie Brown. Hi, Susie.
Hello, Carol.
And I have Sophie Klein.
Hey, Carol.
And my last for today is David Sweeney.
Hi, Carol.
Great to have all of you here, and you're here because you are opening tonight. Thank you for coming on opening night. A Doll's House, that's Henrik Ibsen's A Doll's House. And it opens tonight, Friday and Saturdays, it goes through the entire play through February 22nd. Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30. Talk Back Thursday on the 20th at 7:30. And then two Sunday matinees. I'll repeat this later, but just want you to slip it on your calendar now. February 9th and 16th at 3 p.m. So, this play, I hadn't realized that. In 2006, it was the world's most performed play. So who performs this play? It's done what?
It's done on universities, it's done by high schools, professional companies, all over the world.
So in
community
all
theaters, in all languages
as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why is it so popular? Tell us about the play. Go ahead. Free for all three of you.
Well, you said it when you said it was still relevant today. That's part of what makes it so popular. It's also a play that a lot of actors desire to be in because there are some very choice roles in it.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That would drive the having the play produced, of mm-hmm. course. That it's so. Tell us about the storyline. Why don't you start, Sophie?
Okay.
I'm not giving any stage names. You can choose to do that. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think at its root, the story is really about finding yourself and not taking on society's views of what you should do with yourself and how you should be in the world. And I think that this story tells of people trying to break out of those societal constructs.
Okay, and there's the major theme or the major setting is a marriage. Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. A marriage between Nora and Torvald. And
you're playing Nora?
Yes.
And Torvald is?
Ben Van Osdal.
Ben Van Osdal. And David Sweeney, what is your?
I play Nils Krogstad. Nils Krogstad is a lawyer who works at the bank, and Torvald is about to become the manager of the bank. And in many ways, my character is the catalyst for the story, sort of like the villain of the piece, but he's not really bad. He's just had a rough life.
Misunderstood.
Yes.
Victim of circumstance.
Victim of his mm-hmm. own circumstance, but nonetheless.
a lot of us know this story because it's the most performed. We've seen it, and in many different ways. I've discussed that with Susie. I saw an amazing production in New York City a few years back. Has it affected you, especially Sophie, if you're playing Nora, has it affected you personally? Did you learn anything from this play?
Oh, God. It's hard to even to say what exactly, but I know that as a performer, I've learned a lot just from being so engrossed within this character and this whole process of memorizing and doing everything. I think this is probably the most growth that I've felt as an actor from wow. beginning to end, I think.
Wow. Good job, Susie.
It's Sophie. She went at it from the toes up.
Oh, my.
From the very beginning. Even before auditions, actually, she was thinking about the play. And
so did you know this play, and were you one of those people who wanted to play a part like this?
Honestly, I hadn't heard of this play before. I knew that it was happening, but once I knew it was happening, I read it and did some research, and yeah, I was totally excited to dig in.
Well, you're good at that. You're a hard worker, and you do a wonderful job.
Well, thank you.
And you're all—I would call you a veteran actor, except that you're so young. I don't know whether you can qualify as veteran, as opposed to David and Susie.
I don't know if I'm quite there yet. One day,
been in the business a lot longer,
so to speak.
Yeah. So to speak. Right. What about you, David?
Well, for this play, I'm playing a different kind of role than I usually do. It's a meaner, or at least not as friendly character as I usually play. So there's been some growth and abilities to do facets of, I guess, myself. That's what actors pull on that I don't get to explore very often. So it's been kind of fun.
You do lighter
roles? Well, tend to be cast in lighter roles, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you have a very humorous bent to you, good timing, etc. So
you.
How does it feel to play this kind of part? I know... I remember many, many, many years ago we did, what was that? One of the fairy tales. I had to say, you ready? Kill, kill, kill. And it was like, oh my God, I felt awful.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, does that, still when I think about it, it feels bad.
I think a couple times I've tried to tell my cast members, don't take it personally when I'm mean to you.
Right, so. Right. Well, that's part of the sign of a good actor, though, if they do feel bad, and then they don't want to talk to you, and you understand, you know, this too shall pass. What about you, Susie? Why did you want to take on this play? You have a little bit of history with it.
Well, I do have some history with it. When they announced the 2014 season at the Coaster, there were so many plays lined up that would have been wonderful to direct. And when I threw my hat into the ring for Patrick, he said, this is the one. This is the one you're going to do. So I landed there.
Oh.
I really like this play. It's a good piece of literature. Even if you never see it, it's a wonderful read because of its theme of the importance of self-knowledge. And both of these people, David and Sophie, and the other actors as well, are living one of the other important themes, and that's the fact that work has its own reward.
Hmm.
And we see that in the Krogstad character, and then there's another character, Christine, who comes to town to visit the Nora character.
Yeah.
And work is definitely very important to her.
Yeah. We're not giving too much away because it's a very powerful, very powerful play. And I'm sure this production will be also. How did Ibsen come to this in 1879?
The character of Nora is loosely based on a young woman that he knew.
Oh.
And there are stock characters in this. Mm-hmm. The doctor is sort of a stock character. We see this kind of lineup of characters in play after play after play, and the number of them. He has a stock character servant that... sometimes is a more important role than sometimes you see in a play mm-hmm. where a person mm-hmm. just comes in and announces or hands over a card, but there's some meat there. And I'm fortunate in that the actors who are stepping into these roles do backstory. They mm-hmm. do their homework, and it's really
Wait,
nice.
What do you mean by backstory?
They have created, I believe every actor in this show has created a sense of who they were before the curtain opens.
Mm-hmm.
What do they bring from their life into, not their personal lives,
mm-hmm.
from the life of their character into this moment. So we see some nicely fleshed out characters in this play.
Interesting. So did you do that, Sophie? Did you step into the shoes of Nora before you even stepped on the stage?
Well, probably within the process of being on the stage mm-hmm. with her in rehearsal. And but yeah, it's always a thought, like, why am I here? Why am I saying these words? Like, what has driven me to this point before, you know, the story began? So yeah, those questions and things definitely created a fuller idea of who this person is, who this woman is.
Well, you know, when I said that about it's still relevant, and we know that, but that's pretty phenomenal that something that could be radical in 1879, that's a long time ago. Is that a good thing or a bad thing that it's still relevant?
One of the things is it's from Victorian times. So if you're not careful, it can be irrelevant because it's so melodramatic if you're not careful with it.
Mm.
But if you bring out what Ibsen's put there, it's very powerful and it's very challenging, not just of the social conventions then, but even as things have changed, how much hasn't changed.
That's what I'm wondering about. Mm-hmm. So can you give me, any one of you, give me a particular?
Well, actually, I was going to address the question that you asked
okay.
me about why did Ibsen tackle this particular
okay.
play, or what led him to it. He came from a very poor background, which was not originally poor. It was quite well-to-do, but his father lost the money.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, Ibsen felt he lost his future with that. And in his struggles to have his own self-knowledge and become someone, he kind of became or was at war with the church, Christianity, society, and the bourgeoisie. And this is one of his plays, as are many of his others, representative of all those attitudes.
Did any of his other plays become as well-known, as popular?
An Enemy of the People.
Oh, okay.
It's actually quite well-known. Mm-hmm. Hedda Gabler to some degree, which we did
was
a few
done
years
here,
ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So the show runs until the 22nd. Again, it is tonight, is opening night. Are there any kind of festivities there used to be in the old days?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Tonight, I think there's a wine tasting
show.
And there's also a champagne toast after.
Yeah, I know. that's what I was wondering, whether that was still happening.
Yes, of course.
Well, in fact, the doors open 15 minutes early tonight because of the wine tasting. So quarter till 7.
Okay.
Tonight the house opens and the curtain's at 7:30.
Right.
Other nights the house opens a half hour before curtain.
So come early. Get your, you have your tickets are assigned seats. The Coaster Theater is a wonderful theater. It's intimate and good sighting from all seats. But it's some of us have our favorite seats at the theater. So get yours. You can call 503-436-1242 or go online at coastertheater.com and get your tickets. And again, the Sunday matinees are the 9th and the 16th at 3 p.m. And talkback is the 20th at 7:30. Yeah, congratulations. Break your legs, not you, Susie. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing Henrik Ibsen's A Doll's House. If we got you even more curious about what this is, then you can check it out. But the best thing to do is come to the play and see it at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. Anything else anybody wants to... Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in. Susie Brown directing with Sophie Klein and David Sweeney the my guests, two of the actors in the play. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Okay. And this is KMUN, KTCB, and I have some music to also happening at the Coaster Theater. Boy, I tell you, the Coaster is just rocking. This is on Sunday evening, so Doll's House is Friday and Saturday at 7:30, and then on Sunday at 7:30 also, we have a concert by Lauren Kinnon. And I have Kristen Alsop coming in to tell you about that. Have a listen. You are listening to the fabulous music of Lauren Kinnon, and I am surprised and delighted with this album. It's called Circle in a Square. It is 2014 release. Yes, siree, we bring you the latest. The old 1879 was my last guest's play, and now we have 2014 release from Lauren Kinnon. She is going to be performing a CD release party at the Coaster Theater, the very same, on Sunday, this coming Sunday, 7:30 p.m. And I just happened to pick this tune. We've been playing all different tunes, and I didn't realize that it was I'm going to let my guest tell you a little bit more about it. My guest is Kristen Alsup, who has kind of a relationship.
I do.
A history. A long history.
I've known her from the very beginning. Because I'm her elder sister.
Oh,
so I've known her from the very beginning.
So she hasn't known you from your beginning, but you've known her.
Correct.
That's right. So Kristen Alsup, whom we'll be talking about other subjects as well, because Kristen is a very active member of our community. Lauren, on the other hand, lives in New York, doesn't she?
She does.
And she performs with the
New York Voices, mostly. That's her main focus, her mainstay. But as with most artists, you reach out and you do your solo projects as well. So this new record happens to be her third solo release project.
And it's Avalon was also
Avalon hers. Was her second, okay. And then she also had another one, and my brain has just gone to sleep, so I can't remember what that one was off the top of my head,
which is
one of my favorites as well. I loved it, and I have them all and play them constantly.
Of course. Since you've known her, since she was born, when did this music habit start for her?
Well, we were raised in a family with lots and lots of music. So our father was a musician as well, and my mother and sings. So we have always had lots and lots of music in the household and a little bit of a jazz bent. But, of course, we're children of the 60s and 70s. So that whole singer-songwriter world was one of our favorite things, with like Joni Mitchell and Carole King. And I think all of those things have really influenced Lauren's view of the world as well. And of the musical world. She started doing a lot of jazz and sitting in back in the early 80s in Portland. There was such a great jazz scene, which was where we lived at the time. And so she'd be out at all the different places that they'd let the kids come in and sing at and play with, Eddie Weed and of course, it's just all the jams and everything. So she kind of cut her teeth there.
Did either of you play an instrument?
Originally piano, and then she also picked up the saxophone. So I think that's really one of the things that's very...
took her into jazz, perhaps.
Yeah, it took her into jazz, but I think it's also, it has informed her vocal as well.
Well,
so
that was exciting to hear, because I was expecting her to start singing.
Right.
And she didn't. She just kept doing that beautiful vocalizing that was,
it is really amazing. It's an incredible skill.
Instrumental.
And then of course, Romero Lombombo, who's the great Brazilian guitarist, was such a great foil to that as well. So she has some fantastic players on this album, lots of longtime friends, as well as, just people she's respected over the years.
Well, I, on behalf of KMUN and the entire local community, at least, we are all very grateful that you live here. Because that's how we get Lauren.
That's right. That's how she comes. She's exactly. doing a little bit of a West Coast tour, but we get to get her to come over here and see us at the Coaster Theater as well on Sunday
night. And
you
dropped off this brand new album as soon as you could, which is very much appreciated. And who's she going to have with her on this trip?
So she's traveling this time out with Martin Bejarno. He's going to be on the piano, Todd Strait on drums, and Rob Davis on sax, and David Capteen on bass. So the three former guys that I just mentioned, those are Portland guys that she's played with many times, and they're really wonderful. Martin, she's bringing out from Florida. He's sort of on this little West Coast tour with her. They're in L.A. right now, and then when they leave here, they'll be here Sunday at the Coaster, and then Monday night they'll be in Portland at Jimmy Mac's, and then off to Denver. And then lots of other places from there. So they're sort of doing a little bit of a tour, which is really, really great.
Fantastic.
The album is fantastic. I'm so thrilled about it for her.
You know, I love hearing you talk about this, because we have a word, kvel. You are kvelling. And as a big sister, I can just hear it. You're so proud of her. And I'm with good reason
thrilled for her. Yeah. This no. You know, well, as you know, for artists, I mean, you're just compelled to do your work,
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, continue to create beautiful and wonderful work is what drives an artist. And I'm just thrilled to be able to, you know, be an audience member. I really consider myself a professional audience member. I love everything.
Well,
that
it's
she's
wonderful.
Done.
The whole album is terrific, and if you've been listening this past week and a half, you've heard more of it on women's music and on Pam's jazz. And if you want to hear more, the best thing to do is, obviously, if you live anywhere in this area, and that's a big area we're talking about, come on over to the Coaster Theater and have a listen. The show is at 7:30. And the doors probably also open at 7.
Open at 7.
Is that
mm-hmm.
it? Now, can people get tickets in advance through Coaster, or do they get them? Yeah.
Yes, they can. Okay. They're online at coastertheater.com, and it's theater with an R-E. and so you can definitely do them through their great box office system, and then they'll be waiting for you there. Or just come on down, because it's Sunday night, so
yeah.
there's lots of seats there
yeah.
in that lovely theater. It's a fantastic venue
yeah.
for hearing music.
Yeah, great acoustics.
Lauren has always yeah. been thrilled when she comes and plays there, as have the other players coming out from Portland. They're very, very excited to be in Cannon Beach and to be at the Coaster, because it's really, really lovely.
Yeah,
place.
This is an opportunity to hear some of the top Portland jazz players as well.
Absolutely.
So if you have an interest in that, you want to learn more about it, so come on down. Now, Kristen, could you please change your hat?
Yes, I'll put
you
my other
one
hat on.
Okay, because Kristen also is the originator of and the runner of the Cannon Beach Yoga Festival, which is happening at the end of this month. That would be February 28th through March 2nd, and that is going to be one heck of a festival. I couldn't believe
yes.
you are packing it in.
We are.
This is
are.
Crazy around here. I mean, yikes. We have Fisher Poet the week before. Thank goodness.
Yes.
But we have Fisher Poets the week before here in Astoria, and we have the Seaside Jazz Festival in Seaside, obviously. And both of those also pack it in.
Absolutely.
But you have something that most festivals don't have, and that is your focus is yoga.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about that festival so folks can then go to their computers and
Right.
Check
well,
some
we're
more.
Having our fourth annual yoga festival, fourth. Cannon Beach Yoga Festival, which is really thrilling. And I just have to say, I want to put a shout out to the city of Cannon Beach, the Tourism and Arts Commission, not only for the yoga festival, but also they also gave a grant to the Coaster Theater that helps bring in events like Lauren, who's coming, you know,
Excellent.
This weekend. So
yeah.
the city of Cannon Beach is very, very supportive of our arts community, and we really couldn't do it without them. So thanks, City of Cannon
yes,
Beach.
Thanks from all of us.
from all of us.
And
exactly.
let's hope that some of the other areas, like maybe Astoria, will support our venues, maybe like the Performing Arts Center.
Exactly.
Say no more.
Exactly.
Yeah. So who?
So,
give us a
so
quick rundown of what's...
So we have fantastic masters of yoga that come for... the whole weekend. We've added an extra day. Usually it's been Saturday
yeah.
and Sunday, so we add another whole day on Friday before. And the teachers include Adil Palkivala, Annie Carpenter, Cindy Lee, and you may know Cindy Lee. I mean, she's been around forever. She wrote one of the bestsellers years and years ago, Yoga Body, Buddha Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a really, really important way of both combining Tibetan Buddhism and yoga asana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She did that early on. We have Julie Gudmestad from Portland will be coming back again, and Sarah Joy Marsh.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our masters and our wonderful teachers. But we also have lots and lots of other activities as well. We have my brother, David Kinnon,
yes.
is teaching the famous yoga figure drawing class that he's developed, which is his spin on a life drawing class. It is really fun.
This is quite a family you have here. I mean, really, this is so cool. And what does David do in the rest of his life?
So the rest of his life, he paints,
right.
and he also bartends, you know, as most artists do. They've
right.
got to have their
but,
side
But I
job.
Love that he you're doing this yoga festival, so he says, well, how can I help, sis?
Absolutely.
And
he's going to do that.
And he's put together the visual arts with the
absolutely
with the yoga
with the yoga spin,
right? And what else do you have going for
we have a kids program. It was really wonderful last year. Imagination Yoga is a group of people out of Portland. They do this yoga where they tell stories to the kids, and they're doing a great free class for children can come to for a half an hour. It's on Sunday. When you go to the schedule, I'll tell you all about that in a minute, but that's on Sunday. And then they're also doing a workshop both for parents, teachers, elementary school teachers. So those people will be part of the children's class, and then they'll stick around later to actually learn how to bring this into either the classroom or to do at home with your kids.
Excellent.
And or to integrate into your yoga teaching.
Right. Excellent.
Your teaching practice.
Got any music coming this year?
We do. We have the funnest thing happening. We have a Bollywood dance party that we're going to do Saturday night. So we're going to be spinning some really great Indian music. It's going to be fantastic.
Great.
Really a ton of fun.
I took a class here at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center with DJ Anjali in Bhangra and Bollywood, and I collapsed afterwards.
Yes.
I think I was the oldest one in the class anyway, but it was fabulous.
It is fabulous.
So fun.
Definitely come with layers that you'll be peeling off because we'll be sweating. And that's available. You know, it's free with a full festival pass, but it's also something that you know, you can just choose to come to that event
and
on
when
Saturday
is that?
Night.
Saturday night.
That's Saturday night. It's at the Surf Sand Ballroom.
Okay. Tell people where to find you on the web or find the information.
Yep. Cannon Beach YogaFestival.com, and that will have all of the information about the schedule. It comes in a couple of different packages, which I want to tell people about if they think they want to do the full festival pass. February 1st is the early bird special.
Right.
It's $325.
Okay, we're not going to give the exact prices.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but right.
It's early bird special tomorrow.
Yes,
and then other than that, there's lots of other things that.
But
can
you
be
can
individual.
Break it down.
Yep.
Yeah, because I remember that was a discussion at the very beginning whether it has to be a package or not.
Right. It is a package deal for the main festival tracks with those master teachers until the 14th of February. And then when the 14th of February happens, then anything that still has open space, people can sign up for individually.
Excellent.
So if you think you can only come to one thing, until
just
Valentine's
keep watching
Day.
That website. Mm-hmm. So that's Cannon Beach Yoga Festival
.com.
Okay. And you teach yoga in Cannon Beach?
In Cannon Beach. I have a studio called Cannon Beach Yoga Arts, which you can also find at CannonBeachYogaArts.com.
Okay.
We have yoga every day. So
Come on
down.
No wonder you're in such good shape. What a family. Do you have any other siblings besides the three of you?
Oh, I do.
I have a sister
that's an opera singer.
But you don't do music.
You know, I do quietly in the car and the shower.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we have a musician, several, opera, and jazz and visual arts and yoga and everything else in this group. Right now, put on your calendar this Sunday evening at 7:30 at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach, Lauren Kinnon, and you will not, you will be very glad you came, let's put it that way. And then if you have any interest, and if you don't, go to the website anyway, because you'll probably find something of interest for the Cannon Beach Yoga Festival.com. And again, tomorrow is the end of the early bird special for a price cut. Thank you so much for coming
in,
Kristen.
Thank you, Carol. I so
appreciate
it.
And bringing us so much and for delivering. You came all the way up here a few weeks ago just to drop off the CD.
Absolutely.
And that's much appreciated. Okay, we'll see you soon.
Yes,
all right,
indeed.
Thanks. And this is Coast Community Radio. Where else would you get such amazing stuff? Well, more, a little bit of music, and then I've got some more folks coming in. We have Hans Araki and Carrie Novotny are going to be at the Sand Trap tonight, and then they will be in concert at the Liberty Theater on February 23rd with Celtic Traditions, conducted by Dave Becker. This is the North Coast Symphonic Band, and that's going to be a terrific concert. So have a listen. This is a Hans Araki CD, and stay tuned.
was in the month of January. The hills were all clad with snow. It was over hill and valley, my true love, she did go. It was there I met with a pretty young girl with a salt tear in her eye. She had a babe all in her arms, and bitter she did cry. Oh, cruel was my father that he barred the door to me. And cruel was my mother, that dreadful crime to see. And cruel was my own true love, that he changed his mind for gold. And cruel was that winter's night that pierced my heart with cold. For the taller that the palm tree grows, the sweeter is the bark. And the fairer that a young man speaks, oh, the falser is his heart. For he'll kiss you and he'll embrace you till he thinks he has you won. Then he'll go away and leave you all for some other one. Fair maids, a warning take by me. Never try to build your nest in the top of a high tree.
Well, you are listening to Hans Araki, Month of January, and that's where we are. We're in the month of January, and aren't we happy? It is the end of January. Just not necessarily happy about that, but we are happy to wish a happy birthday to Cheryl and to Ellen, two Brownsmead girls of different ages, I'm not mentioning. And then also we wish a happy anniversary to some other Brownsmead folks who are off gallivanting, as my father used to say. Well, you too can be gallivanting because coming up very soon, and that will be February 15th, is going to be a wild, absolutely outrageous day from 2 till 10 p.m. The entire brewery block. Hey, I said it without the brewery. Try saying it word. It's hard. It is the Festival of the Dark Arts 2014. My guests are going to tell us how long has this insanity been going on. It is so fun. It's also a carnival of stout, and there are going to be 55 varieties of stout. You have to come. There's no question about it. I'll just run off a bunch of things that are happening, and then they'll tell you the details. In addition to visual arts and stout, we also have psychic fortune telling, ice sculpture, tattoo, solstice forge, Fernhill glass, tin type photography, fire dancing, a fire eater. We have something called cigars, people, but they have to go in a special room and choke each other out. And so I'm going to let my guests, we also have belly dancing with our good friend Jessamine, Monday night programmer here at KMUN. So Jack Harris, co-founder of the Fort George Brewery and Public House, and Jessica Schleif, who is curating and bringing together the visual arts, are both here to tell you about this fabulous festival. Welcome.
Thank you. I wanted to wish you a very happy Stout Month Eve. That's another way to think of the last day of January.
I love it. I love it. I'll take it. Okay, folks.
So the Festival of Dark Arts is sort of the big culmination, the big party during the entire month of February. We're celebrating Stout Month. And so the Festival of the Dark Arts is happening the 15th.
Right in the middle of
Saturdays.
Isn't that
right
the Ides of February?
Of Stout Month, yes.
The Ides of Tell me something. Does Stout Month happen every year? Or is this the first year you're coining the phrase?
We have celebrated Stout Month for over 20 years.
God, who knew?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is January 31st. I think that we should go to the, you should go to the, whatever it is, and ask for there to be a proclamation for January 31st to be.
That's Jack Harris's dream. That's how it all started.
I see. That's a good question. How did this all start?
Well, years ago, I was Jessica and I were talking about how to do a. I always wanted to throw a Stout Festival, and during Stout Month, and she at the time was very involved with the Astoria Visual Arts, and we decided that'd be a great fundraiser for them. I think I was in 2000 or 1999 or.
Is that right?
It was
so
back there.
Ago.
It was when the AVA was over on 10th Street.
We had a dream.
And we did that for a couple of years over there. And then once we, 3 years ago, this will be the third year we've done the Festival
of
Dark Arts.
This was long before Fort George.
Yeah, that was long before Fort George.
Oh.
But the same dream.
But yes. The dream goes on.
Yes.
Okay. One other question. Is Stout Month, is that celebrated anywhere else in the world?
Yes, it is. Just about everywhere I've ever worked, it's celebrated.
Colorado.
Okay,
Beach,
I get it. All right. Okay, so tell us. I gave a quick rundown, but tell us for real what's going on.
It's going to start at 2 in the afternoon and go until 10 at night. And I think the Carnival of Stouts sort of sums up the whole idea behind it, the whole feel behind it. And we've got one thing we missed on there is Daylight is going to be our MC. And Daylight has a troupe of folks that will be basically like wandering minstrels, announcing events and doing little songs and
fabulous
presentations throughout the whole complex.
Oh my goodness. Folks, if you
I want to be clear with us, cigar tent will be outside.
Separate. Right.
And it is a dark art.
So. Upper garden.
It's very
enclosed.
Dark. Very dark. So for those of you who don't know who Daylight is, that's a reason in itself to come. Means you probably missed Dragalution. That's the only hint I'm going to give you.
There you go.
And of course, Daylight was on the air last week, but you know, if you don't remember. Okay, so Jessica, what's the story? What have you done? What have you done?
What's the story this year? Well, last year, I think you can remember, was the terrarium extravaganza.
Remember every day because one of those terrariums is in my house.
Lives with you bet. Carol.
Terraria,
yeah.
I guess one must say.
This year, in addition to the curated art show that will be on the walls, that will consist of painters Darren Orange, Sarah Hendricks, Mickey
Souza,
thank you.
Michiela.
Kristen Chauk, Agnes Fields, Jamie Boyd, Sally LeCaff, Anastasia Lane, and Roger McKay.
I noticed there's one man that Roger McKay slipped in there with all those fabulous.
Darren Orange.
Oh, of course.
Hello.
Darren started it and Roger finished it. You're right. I'm sorry. You put them
in addition to that fantastic curated show that'll be up on the walls, we're also hosting a live drawing event at the festival.
What does that mean?
It means a small band of artists on Friday night will be putting together a large-scale installation still life.
Wait, let me just mention that Jessica is amazing with her installations. You know, when you said that word, you know what flashed was, I think it was for Fisher Poet or something, when you did that, or at some point, you took cherry trees and you, that was amazing. She puts things in places you don't expect and it gives them a whole new life and a whole new way of looking at life. So these artists are going to set up an installation.
Jamie Boyd, Sally LeCaff, Becky Tonkin, new to town and very exciting, and myself will be putting together a still life with two pieces of the city stage, and we'll have rotating live models coming into that still life on the day. We have invited drawing teachers like Christy Payne, Robert Pullman, Kristen Schock, Jamie Boyd, people that had drawing groups around town,
nice.
And said, come draw with us with a stout in your hand for the day.
Nice. So where is that going to be?
So that'll be in the Level showroom. So the art show itself that'll be hung on the wall will be in the Level showroom, and then that exciting drawing event. And I guess the drawers tell me this is called a draw on, and it happens in other places.
Okay, so now, okay, do you have to be a really good artist to do that?
No, this is for anybody.
So anybody of any age.
Anybody, any age. Bring your own supplies. We'll provide the still life. Some of the drawings might even be hung that day.
So I have to just mention, I should ask, but I think I'm safe in saying this will not be part of Downtown Nudes or Au Naturel?
No.
These.
No. Oh, I get what you're saying. No.
The models will be closed.
It's a beer festival. It's a beer.
Well, in that case, who knows what we're going
to
get?
Family friendly. And people, you know, you pay. Is it $10? I'm not allowed to say that. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, but you can.
No, it's
come
free
in.
To come.
It is
it's
absolutely free to come to the
that's
festival.
That's what I was going to say. That it's
but
free to come.
It just costs to imbibe.
Yeah. And to support. And right. You want to support the festival, but all ages can come and bring your crayons, your papers and
so
pencils.
So if you want to draw or come in and see the show or come in and take a look at the keepsake tattoo people, the Solstice Forge, Fernhill
now, where,
Glass.
Where are they going to be, though? Like, the forge is going to be outside, right?
We'll set up the forge out in the parking lot between the Fort George and the Lovell buildings.
Okay. And you have
Well, there'll be covers, there'll be tents all over the place, but it's going to be a beautiful day.
Okay.
In February. And we ordered that early.
Very good.
Like for the Brew Cup. And
God, I was out of town, but I heard about that one.
And the glass blowers will be up working out of Fernhill's place there, but they will have taps up there at their place.
Nice.
And
so where is all this? You know, I mentioned this to someone on the telephone. I told them about this festival, and I said, and there are 55 varieties, and they said, what are you talking about? How could there be 55 varieties?
Campus-wide. So
every corner you go to, there will be beer available.
Where does this stuff come from? Where do all these varieties come
from? We have beers coming from all over that. We have beers coming from as far away as, we're the first one. I think the furthest one is from New York, from Omagong.
Really?
And that I can think of.
So what do they do? They send you?
They're sending us 5 gallons of beer.
Like, by truck or plane, or how does it
there are boats. Actually, some of these beers are coming internationally, because I know Chris told me some of these beers were on boats right now heading for here.
That is so amazing.
So 55 of them. If I could rattle off, just these are just the Fort George ones. It'll be available at the festival and during the month. But we're going to have a walnut stout.
Ooh.
A stout. It's an oatmeal stout that's been aged in Pinot Noir and bourbon barrels.
Ooh.
That's dark matter stout. We have up and smoke stout, a smoked vanilla stout. We have Kentucky Girl stout.
I'm getting hungry.
Which is coffee girl stout aged in barrels. We've got coffee rye Cavatica stout. We've got a wheat stout.
I love that stuff.
We've got a oyster stout, a squash stout, a pepper stout, a Mexican chocolate stout, we've got a pumpkin stout that was aged in rum barrels, and we have a stout that was just aged in rum barrels.
This stuff is going to be at Fort George all month?
All month long. Those will be on tap at Fort George,
okay.
But they'll be available during the festival.
Okay, but during the festival, if you buy your mug, you still have to pay
You buy little tokens, and then
okay.
So as many tokens you want to buy, as many tastes you want to buy. And really the whole idea is for people to come down and wander around the whole block. There's music. I didn't even talk about the bands. We have really amazing bands.
Exciting.
At 2 p.m., starting off, will be Albatross. And Albatross, they are some members of the Builders and the Butchers. And apparently they're going to sing all murder ballads. Their entire repertoire is murder ballads. We've got Hook and Anchor, which is another band that includes some locals. And,
That's Luke and Katie and Ryan Dabrowski.
And Ryan. And then they'll come on at 5. And then we have AU at 8 p.m. And that's Luke Weiland and Dana Velatka. And Gosh.
You could spend the entire day there.
You spend the whole
afternoon. And will you have food?
There's
your
tons
regular
of food.
Kitchen
we're
going to
have special food at every spot. Great. We're going to be serving food out in the parking lot.
This is a real... the only difference between this and some of the other festivals is this is just one day, folks, this year. Who knows what's going to happen in the future. But right now, this is an amazing amount of work that is going into this, and it is one day only. That is the 15th, which is Saturday, and 2 weeks from tomorrow, Saturday from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Invite your friends from wherever they live and come on down. And if you get yourself to Astoria, you'll probably find out what's happening. But it's right on Duane between 15th and 14th. So you'll find it. There is no question about it. The Fort George Brewery and Public House is putting on a party. So, again, music all day starting it right away at 2 and going all the way till 10. And then all of these fabulous arts. And bring your art supplies. And if you have kids, have them bring their art supplies. What a great opportunity to get involved in all of this. And and if you want your fortune told, you need to get in there early. I didn't get a chance last time.
Or if you want a tattoo, you got to sign up early.
Thank you.
Or if you want your tintype photograph taken.
Oh, my God. There's so many things can happen. And if you want to eat fire, you're not going to. But you can watch the fastest fire eater who's going to be there. And there's so much. And fire dancing. It's going to be a blast. So come on down and enjoy. This is for pleasure, for community, for the arts, and for the stout. Anything else we need to tell folks? Jack?
Come on. I think you summed it up.
Come on down. The maps will be at the doors to direct you.
Now, we even have maps to get you around and find all the beer and all the events and all the food.
Yeah, because it is a whole block of stuff. Okay, that is terrific.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Carol.
You so Carol much. I am so looking forward to this happening. It's terrific. I'm going to put on a quick piece of music because, well, actually, this is... not music, it's a spoken piece, but it's very relevant, and I want to send this out to all my beautiful Nova Scotian friends. David Mallett is the lead. He's the big name this year at Winter Folk, which is happening this weekend, actually, and it's on the first, it's Saturday night. Holy moly, how did that happen? It's come so fast. This is in Portland, I know, but it's Tom May's gig, and he's one of our great buddies, so have a listen. Thanks, folks.
My father's name was Aubrey Mallett, which is an unusual name and easy to remember, I suppose. Aubrey Mallett, and he came originally from Nova Scotia, from Digby, Nova Scotia, and then they traveled around a bit when he was a kid. His father worked on ships, so they traveled to like New London, Fall River, and exotic places like that. And then they wound up back in Digby in the 20s for a while until all hell broke loose there, 29, I guess. They headed up to Maine, and they kind of wintered out the depression in Maine, and he met my mother and never left again. But after 50 years had passed, my father, Aubrey Mallett, wanted to go back to visit his hometown of Digby, Nova Scotia. So my brothers made kind of a weekend of it, and they took him and they packed up the station wagon, and they went down to Bar Harbor, caught the ferry over to Nova Scotia, spend the weekend looking around, see how things had changed in 50 years. Well, they spent the first night in a motel, and the second day they headed to this little town of Salmon River, Digby County, Nova Scotia. They pulled into town, they pulled by where the school used to be, where the old man learned how to play basketball. He was a great basketball player, my father was. Then they headed past where the old house used to be, where they used to live. It had all fallen in, of course. Went by the graveyard where all the other old Mallets were. along about noontime, I guess on the second day, they pulled down downtown in this little village in Salmon River, Digby County. Pulled up front of the general store, which was the only building still there that looked familiar. Pulled up front of the general store in the station wagon, and the old man got out of the car and walked up the steps, and it had been 50 years since my father, Aubrey Mallett, was in this town. Well, he pulled up in front of the store and walked up the steps and in the front door, and the old man behind the counter was reading the paper, and he looked up and he said, "Hi, Aubrey." That's a true story, man.
Well, I've got to let Dave Mallett go, but he's full of good stories, good music, and he will be in Portland at Winter Folk. You can Google it if you need to. And it's a benefit for the Sisters of the Road Cafe, a fabulous event. Stay tuned right now. KMUNS Story 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5. Thanks so much for being here. CoastRadio.org, wherever you are in the world. Lots of love. And love to Royal. And Sarah, and Israel, and Hannah, and brother, and to Amon, and his family.